You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn joined by Tom Morley to look ahead to the best of Saturday's action, and what a Saturday we have in store as well. Racing from Cheltenham to look forward to, primarily. Also good action at Doncaster. Also racing at Uttoxeter, Nace, Lingfield and Kempton through the course of the day on Saturday. Fantastic day of action. We're going to focus mainly on Cheltenham with a nod to Doncaster on this podcast. But firstly, Tom, everything okay? How are you?
Yeah, been a good week. Nice to be up here, have a little break from things down in Suffolk.
From being a farmer.
Won't have to worry about that too much longer, selling the farm this year, so.
See, we get all kinds of people on this podcast. We get tipsters, punters, ex-jockeys, trainers. I don't think we've ever had a farmer.
It would be probably pushing it to say I'm that knowledgeable about much on the farming side, if we're being brutally honest.
Okay.
But never mind.
I think you know more than me.
Fractionally.
Okay, only just.
Yes.
If you like farming, get in touch with us. No, don't.
No, get in touch with Savills.
We have got some... The racing at Cheltenham is absolutely amazing, isn't it, on Saturday. I must confess, when I first looked, I thought that there was an admin error.
Because of the nine races?
Yeah, I thought...
I actually thought there was a rule...
They've duplicated a few of them or whatever.
That no race course was allowed to have more than eight races, but obviously special.
If they're going to do it, though, it is good to do it on a day like this, and anyone going to Cheltenham is in for a treat.
Having said that, I think a few people probably thought the Clarence House should have gone somewhere else.
Yeah, we were talking just briefly about that off-air. Obviously... has ended up at Cheltenham. Where else could it have gone, do you think?
Well, there's obviously a good card at Doncaster.
Mm-hmm.
Or they could have perhaps delayed it another week. It's very tricky with the delaying it, because horses can be fine-tuned, trained to specific days,
yep.
And therefore, just even a week later is possibly not ideal for some of them. Certainly with the flat horses that I have, they have individual training regimes that are geared towards running on a certain date.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just tweak that even 3 or 4 days... the bit of work or whatever's in exactly the wrong time. So, but I don't know. It's just, Cheltenham's a very different track, isn't it? That's the thing. And
yeah.
Obviously, there's a slight difference in the field from last week to this week. Not much, but nevertheless, there is. And no doubt some horses won't be suited by Cheltenham generally as much as other tracks.
But at the same time, it is good that we have managed to get it in somewhere.
Absolutely.
We'll get to that one shortly. But I just... And I don't want to knock Doncaster, because Doncaster's card is very good as well.
And obviously Ireland on Sunday,
yeah,
to top it off. And dare I say it, that a race in America for a lot of money.
That is true. That is true. If you do want to watch that race in America, as you said, wh.cm/TV, William Hill's Betting TV, for all of the stateside action. We'll stick to William Hill Radio for the domestic stuff, and as you said, on Sunday some great racing. If you go on the William Hill website, you'll be able to see Sean Quinn previewing some of that Sunday
Excellent.
Racing. So, something for everyone. Got AP McCoy and Andrew Thornton as well on Cheltenham and Doncaster respectively on the website. So what more could you want?
I feel quite inadequate.
Well, we are well and truly arming punters with an array of knowledge ahead of Saturday's action. Let's hope they don't get it all right, because otherwise we'll be skint. So, right, we'll start. We're going to look at four races, three at Cheltenham, and we'll start with a 145, which is the aforementioned Clarence House Chase, a Grade 1, over 2 miles. The short-priced market leader for this, but deservedly so. It's pretty hard to see what can beat Underso here, isn't it? Apart from his own jumping.
I was about to say, apart from perhaps himself,
because
obviously he won last year, didn't he, beating Sire de Grugy, but different track. And then saw the rear of Sprinter Sacre at Sandown and Cheltenham. A couple of visits to Oitoy over the hurdles, closed off last year. Should have been sharpened up by the Tingle Creek win. Mm-hmm. Did well to win it, because obviously lack of race fitness there. Did make a couple of mistakes, though, perhaps, which could be crucial here. And I think that is possibly the chink in the armour that we may may be able to hopefully exploit. Because if you compare it to, let's say, Special Tiara, now I have a soft spot for Special Tiara, because pretty much ever since that win in the Desert Orchid Chase in 2014, when it jumped just awesomely. Mm. So ever since then, I've actually kept my eye on him. And did obviously win the latest renewal of that last month, in fact, still just last month. So his win in 2016 was much more hard fought, and that was after the reappearance at Cheltenham when third. But loves jumping, and with this set to go at a pace, and we'll have a look at a couple of the other runners which might suggest that, could put pressure on Underso's jumping, take him out of the comfort zone, and therefore this reliable jumper could be one that could profit. Because if we look at the other races, I mean, what price is Special Tiara at the moment?
We do have prices now. We're recording this at around about 3:30 on Friday afternoon, so these prices are correct as of now. Underso is 2s on, 9-2 Special Tiara, Top Gamble 10s, Uke 600 at 12s, 20s for Dodging Bullets and Royal Regatta, and Eastlake is 50-1.
Yeah, I mean, if we look at some of the other ones, I mean, Dodging Bullets has plenty to prove. Won this in 2015 and the Champion Chase afterwards, but not scored since and just looks up against it. Hasn't shown much for a bit. Eastlake is a course and distance winner, but looks out of his depth, though. Mm. A good horse at his best and did obviously bounce back. 33-1 winner, wasn't he, last time? But very in and out. Royal Regatta would have liked it probably to be at Ascot, but showed a good level of form to beat Kyle Moore Lock last time. Step up in class, drop in trip looks a bit of an issue here as well. Top Gamble hasn't quite hit last year's heights, but the third to Chantou Flyer on New Year's Day was a good run. May have been given too much to do actually that day. Whilst he is a smart chaser, he'll need the front two of the market probably to underform. And then you've got the one that's had a long break.
I was going to say, Uke 600 comes here off the back of a win in the Ryanair, but the issue is that it's had nearly 700 days off since then. That, of course, was Sir Anthony McCoy's final Cheltenham Festival winner, which just gives you an indication of how long ago it was.
And his best form is over longer, but obviously tends to front run, doesn't he? Likes to bowl along. So there seems to be potential for a couple to set a really decent pace. So that's the hope. Well, I say the hope, not if you want Underso to do well, obviously. But perhaps if you're looking at Special Tiara to get the better of Underso, I think that's where you're perhaps looking for. Maybe they can just get it out of rhythm and under pressure.
But we have seen they've tried to do that before with Underso.
They have.
And he's proven to be a little more versatile than many people suspected.
Yes. So we'll see. But at the prices, I think Special Tiara, I'm going to have a little go of that and see if we can exploit that.
And it doesn't normally make good betting sense to be backing each way in a seven-runner race. But at the same time,
it possibly does
on this occasion, that there isn't a whole lot of strength in depth, and you can certainly pick holes in the majority of them. Special Tiara looks a banker for second as things stand.
So. And with, in theory, the reliable jumping side of it, you're not... you wouldn't have that worry in the back of your mind.
So not quite in each way to nothing, but certainly one to consider.
Yes.
In the Cheltenham 145. The 215 then from Cheltenham is the Cotswold Chase, a grade two of the extended 3 mile, 1 furlong trip. Again, seven runners to go to post, and again, a short priced favourite. Thistlecrack is 4-9 as we record this. Mad Place 6-1, 13-2 for Many Clouds. Cal Morlock at 16, Sylviniaco Conti 25s. Bigger prices then for Vasilei and Perfect Candidate.
So really, Thistlecrack, the new superstar, who's undoubtedly been just really brought here as much, I think, just to show him around. And see how he takes to it before the big day. Obviously, he's already quite a restrictive price, isn't he, in the Gold Cup? And presumably, if he puts in a blinding performance again, that will just contract further. If you think for any reason that he won't put in a blinding performance or will be only workmanlike, I guess you can think that the price might go out for the Gold Cup. I mean, he saw off cue card fairly easily at Kempton last time. Superb display. He destroyed the field of more experienced horses, didn't he? Has made a mistake at Cheltenham in the past, but soon got the hang of it when he was there before. Now, favourites actually have a poor record in this race, and none have won in almost a decade. However, statistics are there to be broken.
No, that is interesting that you say that, though, because you factor that in, and also factor in that the two main dangers in the market won this race last year and
Absolutely.
The year before in Smad Place last year and Many Clouds in 2015. The thing is, with Many Clouds in particular, you know that Many Clouds is being tilted at another go at the National.
Yes.
Is he going to go all out to win a race like this? But still, it's a grade two contest. I don't think it can hurt to have a good go.
And if you've been reading the Racing Post, Oliver Sherwood has been really talking up it. We are not going there just to basically give Thistlecrack a walk over and wander around behind. And I mean, obviously, going to be one of Oliver Sherwood's favourite horses, isn't he? And he's been so vocal about pretty much boosting his horse's chances here. I mean, he returned to the track at Aintree, where he'd been second to Don Poley the previous year. No such problems this year. Scored an impressive 3.5-length victory. You know, Sherwood was upbeat after that. And he jumped boldly out in front. Had a wind op, didn't he, over the summer as well, which doesn't always... it's not always beneficial, but it would appear that it has benefited this horse. So, you know, Many Clouds definitely serves up a very decent standard. And once again, if we look further, you know, there's a couple of horses here who like to get on with it. And now, I'm not suggesting that Thistlecrack's got many chinks in the armour, but potentially, if they really go at it and really make it a proper attritional test... is there any vulnerability in Thistlecrack under that side of things?
Well, the thing is, in Smad Place and Many Clouds, you've got horses that we know exactly what they're going to go out and do. And I love watching Smad Place. I really like this race, actually. I think it'll be very enjoyable to watch. I'd love to see Silveriaco Conti go close. And when you look at the bare form,
well,
was only beaten just over 3 lengths by Thistlecrack last time, but
absolutely.
Thistlecrack was value for however many more lengths you want, 10, 15, etc.
And Silviniarco, he likes to be out in front as
exactly.
well and get his own way. And
they are going to set a pretty frantic pace.
So that, whether that will work against him because he won't get
possibly.
His own way, but, you know, there ought to be younger legs to exploit, really, his age now. I mean, Smad Place hasn't run that well, has he, this year, in my opinion?
Yeah, possibly. I think that's probably fair to say. Was beaten 10 lengths in the Hennessy when finishing seventh behind Native
obviously
River.
Obviously had to give Native River a lot of weight.
But in the old Roan Chase, again, ran okay. That's probably what you'd say. Two okay runs, nothing absolutely startling. But at the same time, he's one of those horses that when he's on a real going day and gets into a rhythm, he can be pretty hard to peg back.
I mean, further down the field, Carmel Lock may struggle to stay, especially if it does become a real test. And the other two should not be good enough, really.
Mm.
Now, what about the fact that this horse of Mr. Tizard has scoped badly? And obviously, they've talked about moving the other...
Allery, wasn't it?
Yeah. And so they've moved him out of the way, if you like, so hopefully it hasn't been passed. But viruses are strange things. Now, I have no idea what type of virus it is that he has or anything, but whether it's air-driven or through touch or whatever. How long has that horse had it? How much has he been in contact with other horses in the yard? Or
it's funny that you say that, actually, because following that race, the Tizards didn't have a runner for 5 days. And then they did have a winner at Warwick.
Yeah.
Obviously, I have no idea how he's got on today, to be fair. Well, we're recording this during the racing.
Yes.
But I know what you mean. Look, if you're backing something at 4-9, you want absolute assurances that everything is fine in every regard. And I think horse-wise, everything is.
Yes.
You just want a little bit.
You'd like
Colin Tizard to have had a winner on the card or somewhere else that day or just something to...
I'm playing devil's advocate, aren't I? Just trying to find some holes, whether they actually exist.
Yeah.
I might be clutching at straws.
So we said that we're going to go slightly against Underso. Are we going to stick with Thistlecrack or are we going to look elsewhere?
Well, once again, it's probably, again, being a bit naughty trying to pick an each-way horse in a seven-runner race. But to me, Many Clouds has clearly come back in great form this year and I think sets a pretty decent alternative standard. I'm just a little bit worried about Smad Place's form in comparison this year.
Okay.
So whether that would be one to follow Thistlecrack home or take advantage.
And at the same time, we can't offer you any markets right now, but on the day of the race, on the pro race card, there's every chance there might be some match betting available.
Yes.
Maybe take Many Clouds to beat Smad Place.
At
the prices at the minute, you'd expect them to be pretty closely matched.
Yeah.
So, okay, then, we'll move to Cheltenham's 4 o'clock. It's the final race that we're going to preview there, although, frankly, we could go through the whole card, but we don't have 2 hours, and you probably don't either, listeners. The Cleef Hurdle is the final race at Cheltenham. We're going to talk about the Grade 2 over 3 miles. We've got 15 runners going to post this time around. Really...
We've got another short one, though.
It's a really open race if you take one horse out of it.
It is.
And it I'm not too sure about, you know what I mean, Harry, here, you know. And even money. He's in 7-2 for Ballyoptic, and Tom Port 2 is 12s, 16s for Petty Zig and Kotkikova, 20s for West Approach and Cole Harden, 25s for Ulgard and Shantu Bob. Bigger prices the rest. There's some really nice types in here. A few of them, granted, are very good handicappers.
Yep.
A few of them are older horses that might not quite have the zip that they once had. And then we've got, you know what I mean, Harry. And it is hard to knock this one. Since moving to Harry Fry has won 7 in a row. But
three of which were at Cheltenham. I know.
But I just think I'm not crazy about Ballyoptic. I have to say that. The one that's chased it home 2 starts ago and fell last time when just weakening. But we're going to get a bit closer on that occasion. I think there could be a bit of a shock here. I don't know what'll win, though.
No, it's very true. I know what you mean about Ballyoptic. First of all, he's got to stay on his feet, mm-hmm. which he's not that great at.
No, two of the last 3's fallen,
yeah.
though.
So that's... Plus, I can't see why he will reverse placings with, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm with you. And I've tried to go and see what else I can find. I mean, you can go back to horses like Cole Harden, who's obviously, you know, it's easy to forget what he achieved, and he's not been great over the fences, and he's come back.
Cole Harden.
But it's hard. Rev de Savola, you know, previous winner, but getting on in the years. Lovely to see Nokara Bow back.
Yeah.
The only thing probably is similar to one when it won, of course, would probably be the price. I'm not expecting it to win again.
60-61 winner of this in 2017.
Yeah. Which I suppose was a year more recently than Rev de Savola. But I'm going to have a shot in the dark at this Kotkikova.
Ah, you see, it's interesting you should say that, because I don't want to name drop or anything. But I spoke to Sir Anthony McCoy this morning.
Right.
And he tipped that one each way in this race.
Well,
actually, he's fairly well connected to JP McManus. And he said that, you know what I mean, Harry, should be winning it. But Kotkikova was 5th behind Vroom Vroom Mag on...
Yep. Exactly.
On British debut, and he obviously thinks there's a little bit more to come, which can only be a positive thing, because he is, let's face it, fairly well connected.
I'm in good company. I feel quite happy with that, to be honest. And, I mean, obviously JP McManus bought this, didn't it, after ran at Ortai and won. Now, would they have really sent it over to Leopardstown just if they thought it was just average?
Mm.
But I'm not sure they would have done. Obviously beaten by Vroom Vroom Mag and came 5th. But then we had the 2nd, 3rd and Shanes Hill, who fell in the race when probably going to be placed, all ran yesterday.
Mm.
And they came 1st, 2nd and 3rd in different order to that day. But nevertheless, they've run really well against Garran Park. So, you know, that's pretty much Frank. The form is very decent. Probably this horse may well have needed the run. I mean, it emptied quite quickly, I guess, but... First run for ages, relatively unexposed against a lot of the others. I thought this, yep, each way, I really did quite like this.
Okay, Kotkikova then, currently available at 16-1 with us here at William Hill. I'd be surprised if it goes off that price. I think that this one could be fairly well supported, and I agree. I think that one's got a really good chance, and it'd be nice to see a good run from some of the older boys as
it
well.
Would.
Petty Zig, another one that I'm moderately interested at 16s, but you know what I mean, Harry, the even money favourites for that Cheltenham contest, and who knows, there could be a few people having a few roll-ups on the day with a few shorties. It could be quite a bit shorter by the time that one goes off, but we shall see. Right, we're going to focus on one race on Doncaster. That is the Skybet Chaser listed handicap over 3 miles. It's coming up at 3:40. 16 of them are heading to post for this one. Looks a typically open renewal.
Is the top horse? I think it might be its second choice on the day.
Can't see anything here. Tenor Nivernay.
I don't know why I think that or where I saw it, but I thought I saw that somewhere earlier. Not that it's in my.
Yes, he's also declared at Cheltenham.
Yeah, I think
in the 1:10 race.
I think that might be its first choice.
Right. Well, that would be a shame.
Yes.
But you'd expect one to come out anyway, I suppose.
Further down.
No, we've already got another one.
I was about to say.
Katachenko's already out.
Yep. So
ignore everything I've said. The Skybet Chase
is now 14 runners.
It's a listed chase.
Or 15 runners.
And there are less than 16 runners in this one. So definitely only 3 places to aim at. But it's still a very, very open renewal of the race. We see it every year that this race is pretty difficult to find the winner of.
Yep.
That said, the last 2 years, at least gone to a fairly well-fancied runner, if in doubt, 2 years ago, and Ziga Boy last year.
Who
tries again here, cheek piece for the first time for Alan King.
Yeah. Of course, this was the Great Yorkshire Chase, wasn't it? It's a shame they take the names away, but there we go. So it's the second time it's actually had no upper limit on the old handicap, but actually this time the top one's 152 rated anyway. Now, 8 of the last 9 winners on the weight side of things, or on the rating side of things, would have been found amongst the bottom half of the weights here, from number 9, Potter's Cross, downwards, I believe.
Okay.
Unexposed horses do generally fare quite well, but the favourite itself hasn't done very well. So conflicting messages there, perhaps, for Big Bad John, who I'm pretty sure is the favourite as we talk.
4-1 with us here.
And this, and this, of course, did chase... Well, chase, maybe loose term, home Thistlecrack at Newbury, and then beat R. Camphor, who is now rated 148 after winning at Kempton. Hard for the handicapper really to know where to rate this one. So I can see why it's favourite. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't want too many jumping errors, though, having said that, we did just see a huge jumping error at Doncaster in the last race I've just watched, where the runner actually didn't leave the ground particularly and just walked straight
just
through it.
Managed to plough through it.
Yeah. That, however, is unusual.
Yes.
We've got the first and second from last year here, which, as we said, is Ziga Boy and Kulog. I hope I pronounced that right. Mm. The latter of which, Kulog, the Longsdon inmate, began his season at Cheltenham in October and beat Kelters, having stayed on well, pulled up in the Hennessy next time, returned to Newbury, was no match for the winner, Three Faces went. Now, £6 higher this from last year, but does like Doncaster, and with some of his kinks from his novice time ironed out, wind operation again in the summer this horse has had, I can see that one going well. Mm. But where I'm going is Southfield Royale.
Second favourite was at the minute, 7-1.
Now, 7-year-olds have a good record in this race, and he is, I believe, the only 7-year-old in it. Mm-hmm. Off for 9 months, he may lack recent races, but I'm fairly sure that Neil Mulholland will have prepared him meticulously for this outing. I mean, you're bound to, aren't you, for such a big race. Seems well-treated, was a good novice last season, won 2 of his early starts, and that was when he began wearing the cheek pieces, which he keeps. Came fourth in the National Hunt Chase, with all those around him winning good handicaps since. Mark of 147 just seems well within his range, and with ground in his favour, I that's where I'm going for my number one choice. But it is a ridiculously open race. I mean, we could mention... so many of them. Nicky Richards has got 2 live chances. Ballybroker Breeze, who was relatively inexperienced, he may be, but was impressive winning a competitive race last time. This race, obviously, a totally different proposition to perhaps what Looking Well has been playing in up to now. You know, you can put forward Go Conquer and Out Sam.
Out Sam. I thought that one had a bit of a squeak here for Warren Greatrex. Seems to always be going off a very short price for competitive races. But I do think that there is a race like this within this horse's compass at some point. Whether it's tomorrow remains to be seen.
The fact that he goes off these short prices means someone somewhere, or a lot of people somewhere, possibly at home and in the viewing public, keep seeing something that draw them back to him.
But it hasn't been foot-perfect jumping so far this season.
And so that would be a bit of a worry. But if he could get a clear round and jump properly, got to give him a chance.
Okay.
But very, very open. But I'm going to stick with my choice of Southfield Royale.
Okay. Southfield Royale gets the vote in that one. Great stuff, Tom. Enjoy all the action on Saturday. Are you with us at William Hill? No, you were in yesterday, weren't you?
I was in yesterday. Yeah, till 9 o'clock yesterday.
No. Lucky you. But do join us at William Hill on Saturday. I'm just trying to rack my brains and think who's in the studio. I know Kevin O'Malley's back.
He is, and I think he has got...
It's Ollie Pimlott and Paddy Aspel.
That's it.
There's your team. Yes. I've got it written down there. I don't know why I didn't just look there in the first place. Anyway, join us from 11:50 a.m. for some top quality racing on Saturday. Best of luck with your bets, Tom, and enjoy all the action.
Thank you very much.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.